What a privilege to be able to be in a building to preach and to minister God's word. And Bridget and Louise are currently on a dock somewhere, and they send their love, and I hope to join them in a couple of hours, but currently I'm here. And so before I get into this morning, we tried hard last week to embrace and to honor everybody, but hashtag, alas, we failed. I failed. So this morning, before we get on, I just want to give a huge shout out and thank you to Sherry for her work on the website and everything she's done to update it and the registration form and everything. Thank you, Sherry. I hope I'm back in your good books now. So we're going to continue this morning with our series, Walking with God, part six. And so this morning, what I want to preach on and talk about is Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And I just want to welcome visitors for the first time. Those who are here with us for the very first time, welcome. I was just sitting thinking during the worship, what a privilege to join and to be in the house of the Lord and to be together. I want to preach Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And before I go further, just have a look at that picture and you'll see the shepherd leading his sheep out. There's the wall with the door, and there's a chap in the doorway, and that's all relevant to what it wasn't just an artist's great impression, but it actually is a real thing that happens. And as we go through and as we preach, we'll have a look at it. The first scripture I want to look at is Colossians chapter 2. Which says, therefore, as you received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. A great characteristic for those that follow Christ, who call yourself a Christian, who say, I follow Christ. And that is to walk in Christ. In Genesis chapter 48, verse 15, I hope the Zoom is working and that people at home can see. So, and he blessed Joseph and said, the God before whom my father Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life long to this day. And often when we want to look in scripture and we want to understand some theology and some doctrines that are said, we go to a place that's called the law of first mention. And this is the first mention in scripture of God as our shepherd. And so God is not only, we've learned, God is not just our Father, He's not just our Savior, He's not just the creator of the earth, but He is also our shepherd, translated otherwise means He's also our pastor, and God is our pastor. And we can see that throughout Scripture, that God refers to many of those that He's called as His shepherds. We look at Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Moses, and they are referred to as God's shepherds, shepherding the people of Israel. And then we look into the New Testament and as well as the Old Testament, and we see that there are specific instructions to those who are called to shepherd or pastor God's flock. However, there is only one true shepherd. There's only one chief shepherd. There's only one great shepherd. There's only one good shepherd, and that is Jesus. If we have a look in 1 Peter 5:4, it says, He is the chief shepherd. And that means there are others who are watching over His flock. In Hebrews 13:20, it says, He is the great shepherd. And meaning there that He is the great shepherd, the one who through His blood shed for us on the cross, we are complete in Him and because of His death and resurrection. And then in John 10:1-16, we're going to dwell there a little bit this morning. He said He is the good shepherd. And His claim, He makes some claims there. And then He says, I will bring others into my fold. And we have to understand the motif of a shepherd is very revealing. And if you want to see a good picture of what a shepherd looks like, we can read Isaiah chapter 40, verse 10. It says, yes, the sovereign Lord is coming in power. He is a powerful God. He will rule with a powerful arm. See, He brings His reward with Him. He's bringing a reward with Him when He comes. And He will feed His flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs in his arms, holding them close to his heart. He will gently lead the mother sheep with their young. That's just out of the New Living Translation. Jesus was, he is, and he is to come. He is a strong shepherd with a loving and kind heart who cares for the people. He cares for his flock worldwide. It's also a picture of blessings that those who call him the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, the good shepherd, those who enjoy that walk with him, as we read in Colossians 2, verse 6. It should also remind us of the beauty of walking with God, the good shepherd, and how he cares and nurtures his sheep. Now we're going to flip over to John chapter 9, but we're not going to read it there. It's just, if you remember, we did that great series, Abundant Life, and this whole preach is going to build up to that. And in John chapter 9, we see that Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and we see what has actually happened there was this blind man, and Jesus went up to him and said to him, "What do you want?" And he said, "Well, I'd like to see." And so Jesus healed him, and then he was amazed, and they were like, so then they start questioning Jesus. "Well, whose sin made him blind?" And he said, "Well, wasn't anybody's sin. He was healed to bring glory to God. And our lives are to reflect and bring glory to God." But they won't believe that this was from God. You want to talk about religion? Being religious? It's because Jesus healed him on the Sabbath. And so they were like really miffed with him. And even when they try to talk to him and to ask him what's going on, he says, "Well, you've asked me already, I've told you." And so then they call his parents to come along. And they say, they know what's heading because they are trying to actually discredit, they're trying to discredit Jesus, and they're discrediting this man. And they actually eventually say to him in verse 28 of chapter 9, "And they reviled him, saying, 'You are his disciples, but we are disciples of Moses.'" And what they're really saying is, "We're proudly disciples of the law. And we want to live under the law, and we're charging you because of the law." The final result, I mean, just think of this for a little while. A guy who's blind, Jesus heals him, and because they don't have the answer, the Pharisees, the false pastors, they kick him out the church. They say, "No, sorry, you're done. You can't be in the church." And his parents knew that, so they say, "No, you're either you talk to him and ask him. He's old enough to answer for himself." And then Jesus in chapter 10 draws this parallel of false shepherds, and he actually describes them as thieves and robbers. The religious leaders of the day, he describes them as thieves and robbers, and he reveals that he is the good shepherd. So the first thing we want to look at, Jesus, the good shepherd. John chapter 10, verse 1. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." A true shepherd comes into the fold through legitimate and designed ways, ways that God has laid out in his word, the way God calls, because there is only one door to the sheep pen, and we will see later, and that is Jesus. And people come into the ministry, come into the pastorate, if I could say this, through love, through calling and care and sacrificial service. And this is not meant to bolster pastors, but this is to help us to understand who the good shepherd is. They, Pharisees, claimed to be the shepherds of the people, but they were not under Christ's appointment. They were not called and appointed and anointed by Christ. They entered some other way, and that's why Jesus calls them thieves and robbers. The true pastors of the church are those who enter through the influence of the Holy Spirit, through the Spirit of Jesus and the manner in which he is appointed, never through self-appointment, never through self-promotion, and in actual fact, not even, I'm gonna make being a shepherd a career. It's a calling, it's not a career. You might want to disagree on semantics, but we won't. Second thing, what does the good shepherd do? Number one, he calls his sheep by name. 10:3, "To him the gatekeeper opens the door," just opens, "and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. We have to understand that that picture that I showed you with the wall and the door, that was a communal pen. It meant that at night when the came back from the fields, the shepherds would send their sheep into this communal. So there were all different people in this, all different kinds of sheep from different flock in this communal pen. And then the gatekeeper would sit in the doorway and he would protect the sheep from anybody coming in. And he would stay in the doorway and guard the sheep overnight while the shepherds went to their families. And then he would come in the morning and he would stand in the doorway and he would call his sheep by name. Now the interesting thing, in the Middle East, shepherds actually named their sheep. You know, like you do your pets, your cats, your dogs, your budgies, your hamsters, whatever. They would name their sheep. I know in our society we said, if you ever get a sheep, don't name it because then it's not going to end up on the table. But they named them and they would come and they would stand them and they were very personalized and very specific. God knows our name. He knows who you are. He knows everything about you. And when he calls you, our job is to answer. He calls us to himself before he calls us into ministry. And sometimes we have to understand that God wants a relationship with first before he entrusts us with ministry. He wants an intimate relationship with us. The good shepherd knows every detail about you. The second thing, he leads them out. John 10:3, the sheep hear his voice and calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Now, if you come from a country and understand shepherding, and we're in South Africa, we have a great place called the Karoo, and we have sheep farms there, galore. But it's always, the shepherd is always behind the sheep, cajoling them along and moving them along. But Eastern methodology wasn't that way. They would go out and they would lead the sheep. He would walk ahead and call them, and they followed him. And he takes us from this place of rest and leads us to places where we can receive nourishment and sustenance for ourselves, because our Father in heaven, the good, great chief shepherd, has a heart for us and he wants to know that his sheep are well cared for. So I want to ask you, are you being led by the good shepherd? Are you being led by your pastoral shepherd, or are you trying to do things your own way? I suggest you go home and take Psalm 23 and meditate and read through it and hear what the Holy Spirit says to you. The third thing is he goes ahead. 10:4, when he had brought them all to his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The good shepherd leads the flock by his voice. There's no chastising, there's no manipulating, there's no cajoling or twisting. It was the same when he called his disciples. He just said, follow me. You know, the same as with the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler came and asked him a whole lot of questions, and he told him exactly what to do. And then Jesus turns and walks away. And the scripture ends off with that little passage saying, the rich young ruler was sorrowful in heart because he was wealthy. And so we need to understand that Jesus goes ahead. He prepares the way for us. He guides and leads us. I want to say to you this morning, our shepherd guides us and he leads us. The devil drives us. Satan drives us. And we need to understand, do you feel led or do you feel driven? I remember as a much younger man anyway, when I was still in business, and it's good to work hard in business. Please don't go away and say, Mark said, we don't have to work hard. But are you being driven? I was driven. People told me I would never amount to much. So therefore, I just thought, now I'm going to show you. I'm going to amount to much. So I was very driven. I worked really hard. And then I met Jesus. And Jesus found me. I didn't find Jesus. And I realized that drivenness had gone from me, because I wanted to be led by the shepherd. Number three, what are Jesus' claims as the good shepherd? Number one, he claims, I am the door. John 10:9, he says, I am the door. Anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. There is a place of safety, a pen of rest I have made for you. Going into that enclosure is a place of safety. And we trust that this building is just a glorious building. This is a place of safety for people to come in. A revelation of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is not only walking with God or walking in God's ways, but understanding that Jesus is the only way to God. There is no other way to God. We come through the door, who's Jesus, when he says, "I am the door." And we see that Jesus was and is the only one ever born of a virgin, a divine birth, not of man, but of God, the Spirit of God. And as the seed which Jesus was born of was incorrupt, he did not need a savior. He was the perfect, spotless lamb. All who came before him and after us, which includes everybody here today, was born of man's corrupted seed. Therefore, we do need a savior. Jesus is the only one who testifies to an empty tomb. I've had the privilege of traveling to Israel and seeing the actual empty tomb. It is empty, to state the obvious. He is the only one who has had countless prophecies in the Old Testament, revealed in the New Testament, ahead of him to announce him as the Messiah, the Savior. No other religious leader or self-proclaimed Christ or cult leader can point to one prophecy to announce them as a Savior, let alone the Savior. Jesus is the Good Shepherd, the Savior of the world. He says, if you come through me, come through my door into my pen, there will be abundance for you. Secondly, he says, I am the Good Shepherd. I mean, this is not just like an ethereal declaration. This is emphatic from the Lord himself. He says, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. As the Good Shepherd, Jesus fulfills this verse through the cross, through his death, through his resurrection. He is the perfect, spotless, sacrificial lamb who was slain for the world. I just want to interject here. As the Good Shepherd, we have to understand there's a lot of things about us here, but it's not about us. It's about the work that Jesus did, the work that Jesus completed, the work that he did on the cross, the sacrifice. We sang this morning, grace, wonderful grace. Grace, beautiful grace. Jesus is grace. He knows us. 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with his inscription. The Lord knows those who are his. Secondly, he feeds us because he's a good shepherd. Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Let that flood over you for a while. I shall not be in want. Number three, he guards us. Psalm 23:3. He restores my soul. He guards me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Not any old path. Paths of righteousness means we are right standing before God. He is faithful and protects us. Sorry, he cares for us. Ephesians 5:29. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church. Us, the ecclesia, the called out ones, the sheep of this pen. There are many pens. We are just one part of that pen. He is faithful and protects us. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. The devil made me do. No, the devil never ever made you do anything. Can I be so bold to say that? We get to choose. We get to choose. We get to follow him and be guarded against him. And you've heard me say this so many times, I'm just going to say it again. We have to quote scripture in context, and we have to quote scripture and believe in scripture in context. James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. No. Therefore, submit yourself unto God's mighty hand. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. We cannot do it in our own strength. We do it in his strength, in his power, of his righteousness to us. What a blessing. Thank you. He lays down his life for us. John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He lays it down. We know the whole story. He got to Gethsemane and he knew what was happening and he said, Lord, please take this cup from me. Three times Jesus asked, Lord, take this cup from me. And the Lord said, No, my son, you need to do this. Okay, Father, not my will, but your will be done. That sacrifice. He is totally committed to the welfare of the sheep. He is the good shepherd, yet paradoxically, he is the sacrificial lamb who went and died for us upon the cross. Because he did this, we are free from man-made sacrifices, free from striving and effort to gain God's love. Also, we sang this morning, he has taken away my shame. He's taken away my guilt. The enemy comes, the devil comes and likes to use this little play field. Well, is that really true? I mean, he has no new ideas. Genesis, back in the garden, did God really say? That's what he said to Eve. He comes today to you and says to you, did God really say? Did Jesus really do? Yes, he really did say, and yes, he really did do. He is our great shepherd. He holds us in his hands, John 10:28. I give them eternal life. Man, have you ever, just stop there and just think of that for a moment. Eternal life means forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever, infinity. They will never perish and no one will snatch them out of my hand. No one can come and stand against the Lord. He is the greatest warrior, as we read in Isaiah chapter 40. He is powerful. He comes with a strong arm. He comes with a powerful arm. He is the warrior king. He is King Jesus. Gives us abundant life. We are secure in his hand. Number three, another declaration says, I have other sheep. And the point he was making here is that I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. So anybody who says they are Jesus reincarnated or they are the new Jesus, they missed the point of the scripture completely. Is one flock, one shepherd. Jesus, the good shepherd, is not just satisfied with the sheep that are of one pen, but of other pens. A declaration that Jesus not only came with the context that he didn't only come for the Jews, but he came for the Gentiles as well. And he wants to create this. And if you go, and we don't have time for today, but if you go and write the Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 21, a display and the revelation of being one in Christ Jesus. What Jesus is talking about, a universal local church context, a display of his apostolic heart. The good shepherd heart continues to bring sheep into his secure pen. Those that come to him, answer him and listen and obey his voice. So we're going to have a look at some marks of a good sheep. And I know we never do anything by tick the box. We had a little bit of fun this morning. If you want, you can create your own sheepy scale. Yeah, I said sheepy scale. And mark yourself off against your sheepy scale. Number one, when he calls, we follow. Or do we follow? When you hear that still small voice inside of you, we should listen. We should learn to listen. Jesus expects his sheep to heed his voice. There is an expectation that when the shepherd speaks that the sheep will obey and listen. When he calls you by name, he will respond to him. I remember as I just recently recommitted my life to the Lord and I was on this track that he had me on. And I'd fall asleep at night and I'd hear this somebody calling my name in my dream, Mark. Mark. And I know some of you think, well, too much pizza the night before. And no, it wasn't. And the first few times I thought, this is just weird. And then I remember Samuel and Eli. And so eventually, why God does this, I don't know. He doesn't do it at like 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, which is a decent hour for us. He calls you at like 3 o'clock in the morning. And I think he was just waiting to see if I'd be obedient to him. So I'd get up at 3 o'clock, go through to my study and sit there and switch on the light and say, yes, Lord. It took me a while to realize, and then the Lord would speak to me. And I know, you mean God actually spoke to you? Yeah, he spoke to me. Very few times in an audible voice, but otherwise through my spirit. Hebrews 4:7 says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. We are sheep. We've got to be attentive to his voice, not other shepherds, because when they went to that door and they called their sheep out, only those sheep came. They would go, not my shepherd, okay. And they'd go back and carry on and lie down. And then he'd call them, and they'd all go out, and then the other sheep would hang around, like, and then their shepherd would come, and he would call them. They would all go out. I know if there were like five lots of sheep in there, probably the fifth lot are wondering, so where's our shepherd? He's like late again, drinking the coffee, taking his time, I don't know. But we have to understand and ask, what kind of sheep are you? Not for today, but there's a great sermon to preach in Luke chapter 9, verses 57 to 62, and it's talking about disciples. And I'm just saying this morning, as sheep or disciples, if we go and read that through, you will see. Are you an eager one? Are you an eager sheep? Are you a reluctant sheep? Are you a someday sheep? You go and read it. Don't worry, Lord, we'll get to it someday. We'll get there. Or are you what we call now sheep or now disciple? Yes, Lord, now. I'm obeying. Second thing, as his sheep, we obey his voice. Jesus asked this question in Luke chapter 6:46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? A fair question. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, double honor, double title? That means not just Lord, that means Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say. And I'm sure you can take for yourselves and place a situation in there for yourself and go, okay, I hear you, God. I want to encourage you this morning. If the good shepherd has spoken to you, stop wasting time. Stop procrastinating. Answer him. Follow him. Obey him. We want all the blessings of the sheep, right? Amen? Okay, that's a few of you a little bit concerned now because we're live. That's okay. We want the safe environment of the sheep pen, right? Yeah, still not sure. We want the privileges that go with being part of his flock, right? Now we're getting there. Okay, there we go. We're warming up now. Yet, we don't want to behave like his sheep. What is the point of the shepherd calling if we keep disobeying? He gives us great direction and instructions in Matthew chapter 28 with the Great Commission. In Luke 10:27, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Man, in reality, anybody of a sound mind, I don't know anybody who actually hates himself. We actually think, unbiblically, we think we're quite fantastic. But in Christ, it's a good thing. Jesus is not only the good shepherd and the great shepherd, he is the chief shepherd. He is our shepherd king. He is our savior. He is our healer. He is the fivefold ministry. He is the great apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. He is all of that. Jesus' voice is echoed through eternity, down through the corridors of time, calling his people, guiding us, leading us into a deeper relationship, because it's all about relationship with Jesus. It's not about a religion or being religious. You can go back and read chapter 10 again and you hear what he says about those that are religious. You thieves and robbers. Especially to the shepherds, he's talking. We can't claim to be Jesus' sheep if we don't obey his voice. You want to see a great, you want to be a good sheepy? Scale yourself a 10 out of 10. Go and take Acts 2:42 and read that through and go, as of today, I'm going to live by this. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread, to the fellowship, and to prayer. And we can do all of that, even during COVID. That would give you a good scale for yourself. And number three, We are of one flock. John 10:16, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. Now, I know we've decided to divide ourselves over the years and through history, and non-denominational and Baptist and Methodist and United Methodist and Free Methodist and this and that. But in God's heart, in Jesus' heart, we're one flock. And their methodology, when we might look at some of the stuff and disagree on some interpretation of Scripture, but there is only one flock. We are the big church, the whole family of God, but there is also a local church, this church. And the problem is that when we try and follow other stuff all the time, so again, just the analogy, the shepherd comes to the door and he calls the sheep, the bridge sheep, and then some other sheep joins in and says, but are you of this flock? No, it's I'm sorry, this is very old, and guy gets stranded on an island and he's there for like 5 years, and then someone, they come and rescue him, and they say he's got three little huts on this island. They say, well, what's that hut? He says, well, that's my house, that's where I live. He says, well, what's that hut? He says, that's my church, that's where I go to church. So, well, what's the other hut? He says, oh, that's the church I used to go to. And so we have to learn to be part of the flock. And I mean, visitors are welcome, but what we're saying is, if the Lord is leading you, then let the Lord's voice be clear in your head. Don't be flitting around. Anyway, I don't know why I went there, but so, and sometimes we need to learn to listen to the shepherd's voice. And we have this amazing, even now with COVID-19, we have so many online services. You can listen to anything and everything. You can watch Evangelist TV. You can do all this kind of. I just want to say, be careful what you listen to. Be aware of what you're listening to, because that could be unhelpful for you. So none of the pastors here are insecure about who we are and what we're doing. I'm just being a good shepherd and just helping you. So lastly, the good shepherd has other shepherds to guard his flock. How so? I'm so glad you asked. Number one, the elders in a local church. Now, we have to understand, when we talk about the elders biblically, well, we understand, we see that elders, shepherds, pastors, overseers, and bishops, all words that are used interchangeably in Scripture, actually mean the same person. It's not a hierarchical thing. It's not. We don't have time for it today, but I feel like a lawyer. Trust me, I'm your pastor. 1 Timothy 5:17, the elders who direct the affairs of the church, not anybody else, the elders who direct the affairs of the church, well, are worthy of double honor, especially those who work as preaching and teaching. Number two, they oversee and pastor the flock. Acts 20:17, now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. If there was another group of people called pastors that were over the elders, do you not think that they were called the pastors and not just the elders to come? No, they called the elders, because elders and pastors are the same thing. Ministers, same thing. Pay attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church. Overseer, episkopos, the Greek word, means to oversee. It's not rocket science. Thirdly, Jesus commands his sheep to honor his shepherds. Now it's going to get really quiet. To submit to their oversight and make their duty a joyful one. Well, where's that in the Bible? I'm so glad you asked. Hebrews 13:17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy, not with groaning. So if you don't let them do it with joy, and they're groaning about it, for that would be of no advantage to you. Now, I'm not clever enough to make this stuff up. to esteem them highly in love and live at peace. 1 Thessalonians 5:12. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Well, nobody, no pastor is going to tell me what to do. And to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. Are you helping or hindering the work of the Lord's shepherd? That's for you to answer on your sheepy scale. And finally, when we are good sheep, we have a promise. John 10:9, again, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. There is a place of safety, a pen of rest I have made for you. Jesus, the good shepherd, is laying it out for us. He's not making it difficult for us. So you might ask, well, are you sheep, Mark? Are the elders, the pastors, are they sheep? Absolutely, of course we're sheep. We're not like super duper dudes. We are also, and our wives, we are all sheep. And so we also have those that pastor us and care for us. The promise is you will be saved, you will go in and out and find pasture. And we have to understand this. Well, what does that mean? Well, I'm glad you ask again, because it's an Old Testament idiom denoting the free activity of daily life, the liberty of man as we get to choose to do or not to do. So we either get to choose to be joyful, choose to make this thing choose to follow the sheep, choose to follow the shepherd, sorry. Psalm 121:8, the Lord will keep you going out and you're coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Why? Because he cares for us. Why? Because the pastors here care for you and love you and respect you and honor you. And then we end back where we started a couple of months ago, John 10:10. I have come to give them life, life to the fullest, or abundant life, depending what version you're reading. And I want to encourage you this morning, walk with the good shepherd. You get to choose today to walk with the good shepherd, to be faithful to the good shepherd. And he did all this so that we could come in and go out and find pasture. And that is his promise and his privilege for us. Let's just pray this morning. Father, we come to you this morning, Lord God, and we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness towards us. Lord, we acknowledge you above everything. You are the good shepherd. You are our good shepherd. And Lord, we come and we just say, Jesus, we honor you. We give you preeminence in this place. Holy Spirit, continue to have your way in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you are present. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are present with us. We thank you, Lord God, that you sent your Son Jesus to die for us, that he took our place upon the cross, that he suffered and bore our sins upon himself, that we could come to him and we give our lives to him, that we may go out and come in, and that we might find pastures in Christ Jesus, that we walk in Christ. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Have a great week. Bless you. Amen. Thank you.